6 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Rocking and rolling today on this snowy Tuesday. Man, I mean, I'm not going to complain about it that much. I like the snow out there. It's pretty and everything, but I'm usually a winter kind of guy, fall, winter. But I got to tell you, Angel, we've had a crazy winter. So I'm kind of ready to move on from this and get to warmer days. I don't want to. I actually broke my windshield scraper. I broke it today. Pinched my hand on it. The whole thing. And so I'm done with it. Because I wiped off my vehicle, my wife's vehicle, and it broke. And I said, that's it. I'm not getting a new one. That's it. This has got to be the last snow. Well, I get it. It's probably going to snow again. But I'm just kind of over it at this point. Here we are, though. Be careful out there driving around. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Do you use a number 2 pencil anymore? Do you use one?
Oh, not for a long time.
I just came into the studio, and this has got to be Blake's. Blake Olson just filled in. Blake is awesome. Just filled in for Bruce, for Coach Speak. Bruce is navigating his way back home after that riveting national championship game last night between UConn and San Diego State. But I found a number 2 pencil in here. I can't write with pencils. I do not do that anymore. Not since school.
I'll use them for like art projects I do, but okay. Otherwise it's just a pen.
Yeah, it's always a pen. I don't like ballpoint pens. I just, you know, sharp pens. But it's just, it struck me. You don't see number 2 pencils lying around much anymore. Do you remember like the sports themed pencils you could get back in the day?
Yes.
Those were the best things ever. You get
always
a pack
like
of those.
The ones that they would have like a scent to it.
Oh.
You could buy it. It would be like
really?
A blueberry scented pencil.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool, actually. Never heard of those.
It's like, I feel like you could be more creative with pencils. Pens, it's kind of like, ooh, you need to be professional. You don't get to have bright, fun colors. They're all blue and black and red.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's dumb. Well, that's enough pencil talk, I suppose, for one day. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Poll question of the day presented by Tight Knit Brewing in downtown Greeley. Was the NCAA men's tournament good? Overall, was it good? Now, I heard Mr. Lytle on this morning with Brian and Tanner, and he was like, he basically said, if you don't like this tournament with this situation, then you're not really a basketball fan. I gotta bring that up to Kevin on Thursday, because Angel, I've said this for years, the NBA is a better product than college basketball. It just is. I was watching the Nuggets the other day at my father and mother-in-law's house, and my father-in-law's like, they don't move as fast in the NBA as they do college. Is it just, and he doesn't watch a lot, but he watches when I'm there, and he's like, they don't move as fast. I said, this is my assessment, anyway. You got to move faster in college because it's more so about spacing than anything. So is the NBA, but mainly college because you need open, wide open shots because these guys aren't the best shooters. I don't know what the field goal percentage was or anything, but they move so quick. Get the ball out quickly, pass, 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 screen, move, penetrate, pitch, all that stuff. But NBA guys can hit shots with hands in their face. You can slow the game down, post up, do all those things. I'm watching the game last night. Who's San Diego State's big man? Turn left, bro. Turn left. Stop going underneath the basket and trying to do the up and under thing, man. All you got to do is turn left, and you got two points right there. You don't see that in the NBA. Guys can shoot with hands in their face. Guys know how to manipulate their bodies and move them around to give them the best shot. Sports is all about spacing. It is. But in college basketball, they move faster because they have to quickly find that opening. In basketball, it's not as desperate. Was this a good tournament? Was last night a good game? I mean, San Diego State had moments where they made it kind of interesting. But for the most part, it never really felt like UConn was going to let this thing slip away. And, I mean, it was a bummer for San Diego State. I was rooting for them for the Mountain West sake and Dutcher and all that stuff. I like the I liked that story, kind of. But, I mean, San Diego State FAU on Saturday or whatever that was, didn't do much for me. And, again, UConn is a blue blood, by the way. A lot of people are like, oh, there's no blue bloods in the tournament. UConn's won, like, five national championships since 1999, so they are a blue blood. But I just didn't – I mean, Matt Bradley, who's a star for San Diego State, 8 points last night. 0 for 4 from the three-point line, 2 for 9. He struggled a lot throughout this tournament, yet San Diego State, that just kind of shows you how good of a team they were. But I don't know. It didn't – the first weekend was great. Outside of that, I just – I wasn't doing it for me, Angel. And I know you were out. Hell, you're watching XFL. You decided to go away from the men's tournament altogether after the first round.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I had interest in it with Alabama in there, obviously. But after they got beat, I was kind of just, all right, well, I don't really have interest in any of the other of these other teams. And I think on a more broad, casual viewer aspect, you know, it's okay, Kansas isn't there, the Tennessees, the Kentuckys aren't there, Arizona's not there, Purdue, all the one seeds that we thought would make it far weren't there. So it's kind of like, you know, I may have studied up a little bit on the higher seeds, but I don't know much about San Diego State, I don't know much about UConn, so it's hard for me to find some interest to watch these two teams.
And I was interested in San Diego State because I've seen them play 4,000 times this year because they're a Mountain West team. You saw him play three times against CSU, and then a few times just on like CBS4 or CBS Sports and Fox FS1 and all that. But apparently we're not the only ones. And now this is a stat from 2 days ago, so this was actually before the national championship. Record audience, though, for the first round of the men's NCAA tournament. Record audience. That's not a shocker to me. The tournament overall was averaging 9.11 million viewers through the regional finals, but that was down 6% from 2022. Basically, after the first round, March 16th through 17th averaged 9.2 million to set a record for the most watched round of 64. So what that just initial paragraph kind of tells me is that you like the upsets, but you don't want the upsets to take over the tournament. Is that fair? When I watch, that's how I am. I watch March Madness. I don't want 8 Cinderella stories. I want one that goes pretty far and makes it exciting. But Angel, we watch these teams throughout the regular season, and then they just get blown out or beat up by a team that's won like 18 games, but they won their tournament and they got in or whatever. So much of that just goes to me. For me, it just destroys the regular season. And then anything, and I know we like to say it, any given Sunday or anything can happen, all this stuff. Rudy, the Hoosiers, those are all great movies. But sometimes I want to see the studs. And then again, UConn was a stud. Let's not forget. But when UConn's the best of the four or the best of the eight, then it just feels a little different, doesn't it? It just didn't capture my attention like it has in years past. And again, last night's national championship game, I was glad San Diego State was in it, but I wasn't like nervous hoping they would win. I didn't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. I did because it's a Mountain West team and I'm rooting for the conference. But I just assumed UConn was going to cover. I mean, -7. I assumed that. I hate -7s, but I assumed it. If I was forced to pick, I would have picked UConn to win by a multiple, you know, by maybe high single digits or double digits, whatever. But I mean, I'm just looking at like our bracket challenge. Tap that pass sheets. I don't know what that means, but that's who won our tournament, by the way. Won the tournament with 68 points. His champion was Gonzaga. Second place his champion was Purdue. Third place was Alabama. Fourth place, Colfax, who still, you know, does some business around here still, took Texas. Jason took Duke. Jeff took Bama. I mean, again, just a bunch of our people took all of your conventional type of teams. Listen, people say you're not a basketball fan. Lytle said you're not a basketball fan if you didn't enjoy that. Last night sucked. Last night was not entertaining. It was a blowout. I mean, it was a 12-point game at halftime, but we know San Diego State goes on these little stretches where they don't score at all. And I'm told I have to like it because the celebrities aren't in it. Timmy's not in it. Coach K's not in it. Kansas is not in it. I'm told Izzo's not in it. I'm told I don't like basketball. Dude, I'm telling you right now, if the Oklahoma City Thunder end up going all the way through and they play the New Orleans Pelicans in the Western Conference Finals, I'm going to be pissed. Like, I'm not going to want that. I want some more parity in the NBA, for sure. But I'm talking Nuggets winning a title once in a while. You know, maybe Philly. Maybe Milwaukee again. Not Golden State and Cleveland, or not Golden State and LeBron every year. I want a little more parity, but not that much. Like, I'd be totally, again, take my Nuggets bias out, totally fine if the Nuggets won, if the Suns won, if the Kings, now the Kings would bug me. That would bug me. But again, there's four or five teams that I would look at and say I'm okay with winning. And that when I look at March Madness, it was all right. But the game last night was not good. You can't tell me that I'm not a basketball fan if I didn't enjoy that game last night. What do you guys think? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. But the ratings were bad after the first round, according to ESPN. I mean, it was a dream Final Four last year. I mean, you had, I can't even remember who was all in there, but you had some of the best teams that you needed to pique your interest. This year's Florida Atlantic, Miami, San Diego State, and UConn. Okay? It didn't pack the same punch for me. And the basketball wasn't necessarily great either. I mean, dude, we had stretch. Did you see how many fouls? UConn was in the bonus with like 11 minutes to go. San Diego State got in the bonus with like 9 minutes to go. It was free throw, free throw, free throw, free throw, free throw. That slows down the game. That was terrible. According to former CBS Sports president Neil Pilson, he said, the public is telling us that they would rather see more blue bloods in this thing. The ratings support that. I think it's because they're not familiar with teams like San Diego State, Miami, or FAU. There was relatively little press attention paid to those teams during the year. Connecticut has a history, but they're the only one of the four that has really had national exposure. Love it or hate it, that's how it goes sometimes. It was Duke, I'm trying to think, last year, who was in it? Duke, Kansas, wasn't it North Carolina? And Villanova. North Carolina and Villanova, Kansas and Duke. Well, I don't remember.
UNC, Duke, and then Kansas, okay. Villanova, because they had the rivalry game as the Final Four.
All four of those. I mean, again, I'm even all right if one of those isn't a blue blood. But Angel, do you tell me, let's talk about the NFL. It is a bad example for you. Who was the lowest seed in the AFC and NFC standings this year? Was it Miami? Was
the Dolphins and...
It was somebody not good. It was somebody not great.
Is it the Giants?
It was... It was the Seahawks.
Ah.
Okay, so take your fan hat off. Take it off. Throw it in the trash right now. You can get it later. The trash is clean. Micah just took it out. Would you like, as just a fan of football, to see Miami and Seattle in the Super Bowl?
As just a casual NFL fan, I think there's intrigue in Miami. I don't know how much I'd be, like, Seattle would be like, oh, okay, they're kind of there, just whatever. I think a casual would be like, oh, okay, yeah, Miami, they got some cool players and stuff. They're kind of on the up and up, but yeah, that's probably fine. I know... Most of them probably want, oh, no, I want Mahomes, I want Allen, I want Herbert, I want Burrow.
One of the other. Either I want a David and Goliath, I don't want two Davids. I want David and Goliath, or I want Goliath and Goliath. I do not want two Davids. And in this, you had kind of a David in UConn, or kind of a Goliath in UConn, and three little Davids. So sports is very fickle. It's very fickle. We want the best of the best to win, but we also like Cinderella stories, but we don't like it too much. And we also don't like the best of the best to win all the time. It's very difficult.
No, let's expand the playoff, though. Let's just get more teams in there because we want the parity. We want it. Yeah. And then we get it, and we're like, oh, actually, I don't really want it that much.
Yeah, I never liked the idea of adding the seventh team to the NFL playoff.
Let's make college football, you know, like, let's do 30 teams.
I like
Let's do 32
see,
teams. Why not?
More. That's like we want four. But again, over time, I'm all about once in a while, a random Cinderella comes in and then gets into the title game to go up against Goliath. But I don't want it to happen on both sides. I don't want Boise State and whatever both coming up, knocking off Bama, knocking off Georgia, and then they're in. And that's just the truth of it. You know, this is one of the reasons I am a big NBA fan is because more often than not, probably all the time, you're getting pretty much the best team's going to win the title. If not, maybe they were top two, three all year long. And I do like that. Yes, in the NBA, I wouldn't mind seeing someone pull off an upset once in a while. You know, we saw it with the Nuggets upset the Supersonics back in the day as an 8 seed knocking off a 1 seed. It was a pretty special thing. It was pretty cool. But let's face it, nationally, that wouldn't have been a fun story. The Nuggets, a low market team, especially at that point, busting all the way through the playoffs, wouldn't have worked.
So we like sports that have parity, but we also like, you know, if you're a good team, you should probably win.
You want to mix.
Is there a sports league out there that has mastered this?
Hockey?
To the point where you could almost write it.
Oh, the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because the NBA, but they don't give you any parity. The NBA doesn't give you any parity. The NFL gives you just enough parity.
It's enough to keep you coming back.
Eli Manning and the Giants, nobody thought they would win a Super Bowl.
Perfect story.
But then they got back to, okay, yeah, but we got to get back to the Blue Bloods here winning. Get back to Tommy
Bones. You have to have that constant, you know, reset, and that was the Patriots.
The script. The script. You know what? It's the only one that delivers everything that I just said.
Yep.
Because we want dominance, but we want parity, and we want it to be mixed, and, you know, you're pouring it into this thing, you're pouring it into this thing, you're mixing it up just perfectly. That's the NFL.
We want Skylar Thompson to almost beat the Bills in the playoffs,
yep.
But the Bills still win.
Yep. We want the Bills to be the favorite all year, but then, oh, you thought Patrick Mahomes was done because Tyreek Hill's not there? Not today. B-Rad says, it was the earliest my kids have gone to bed in months. That was a snoozer. Yeah, dude, I switched over to watch the Rockies.
It tipped off at 8 o'clock.
I think the Dodgers scored more than the Aztecs last night. I mean...
if you probably cut it like in this like 15-minute time span,
yes.
The Dodgers scored more than the Aztecs scored.
There was. Was that fourth or fifth inning? There was a time frame there where I think the Dodgers scored in a stretch of 5 to 10 minutes more than the Aztecs did. That is silly. I switched over to watch that because the Rockies are up 4-2. And then what happened? Bad pitching. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, okay, it was bad. I didn't like it, whatever. But congratulations to UConn. They get the dub. 5 titles since 1999. That was a blue blood. So you got some of that in there. The team that should have won it, at least based on the Final Four, did win it. The ugly for me is this situation with the president's wife, Joe Biden, invited both teams from the women's game to the White House. Because Iowa played such a good game, she said. Did she watch that game? She watched that game? She was there, wasn't she?
She was there.
Iowa didn't play a good game. I mean, they got beat by quite a bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
But the loser doesn't go to the White House. So even Angel Reese wrote that this is a joke. She even tweeted that out. Now they clarified that statement. But they went back to clarify. She was actually were in somewhere close to Denver. They were at Colorado State. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. She said this: "I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So we hope LSU will come. But you know, I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too because they played such a good game." Mm-mm. That's not how it works.
Good job, guys. You lost.
That's not
Don't
how.
Celebrate your loss. You played a good game, though.
Participation trophies.
You guys showed really good sportsmanship.
We don't want participation trophies. You get Angel Reese in there, and you get her flashing her hand in front of her face like you've never done it before, and you honor those champions. We don't give second place the chance to go to the White House. What are we doing here? The ugliest Rockies pitching. And I asked Angel, I was like, put a montage together for that. Yeah, that's too much work, dude. That's like, how many? Dodgers scored 13 runs? Yeesh. How's the bus doing today? Got a little leak there
little
or something?
Bit. It was rolling fine. We were about to go like hit this downhill turn and kind of just coast back here to Denver. And we hit this massive pothole.
It's amazing how fast the Los Angeles goes, man. 2-4 on the season.
We haven't even been at home yet.
It's
Relax.
True.
They haven't got that Coors Field magic.
This is when they're supposed to be.
You only play the Dodgers in two games,
good.
So it's relax. It's two games against the Dodgers, whatever.
They win tonight? Who's
yes,
pitching?
They win tonight.
Who's pitching tonight?
It doesn't matter who's pitching.
Oh, man.
Ramon Marquez is pitching.
Is he
for the
pitching
Rockies.
Tonight? Let's go.
We got that. We got the. I think the Dodgers are left-handed pitcher.
Okay.
The Rockies are pretty good against them, according to Tanner, so take that for what you will.
When do you panic in a 162-game season? I'm just curious. I'm just asking.
161.
2-5? 2-6? 2-7?
No.
2-8? 2-9?
No, because I've seen teams like the Atlanta Braves be down 15-plus at the break and come back and win a World Series.
That's exactly the scenario that could be playing out right now for us here. All right, we'll take a short break here. 28 minutes after the hour, Zach Stevens will join me from DMVR. Broncos having fun today. Nuggets back in action tonight. What is going on with the Joker? And is the MVP quest over for him? We'll talk about all that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Zach Stevens joining us in a few minutes. I want to tell the internet users out there, which is everyone, I'm here to give you guys the FYI. If your internet can't keep up, it is time to fiber your internet. Experience faster, friendlier fiber optic service that doesn't disrupt your day. For more information, visit allofiber.com/FYI. We're live from the Allo Fiber Studios. Welcome back into the whole show. Glad you guys could be with us here. Let's talk a little Broncos coming up next. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Was the tournament good? Was the NCAA men's tournament good? Go vote on that at thewholeshow.com. Zach Stevens joining us next. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Why 37 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome into the whole show. We've got Zach Stevens joining us now from DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, my man, what's new with the Broncos? I mean, you've got the offseason workout program starting up in 1 week. There's always something happening. They signed another center, Kyle Fuller. I mean, that's kind of an interesting one, man.
Yeah, I mean, not Kyle Fuller, the defensive back that Vic Fangio brought to Denver. It's kind of crazy. The Broncos have had multiple Kyle Fullers. They've had Lamar Jackson, not the quarterback, but the cornerback. They've had a decent number of same-name guys, which is funny. And Kyle Fuller, very much an under-the-radar signing, but I wouldn't be shocked if he becomes the Broncos' starting center at some point this season. In fact, in 2020 and 2021, with Russell Wilson in Seattle, Kyle Fuller started 10 games at center for the Seahawks. So he's got that familiarity. He's got that chemistry with Russell Wilson. And Lloyd Cushenberry is the weakest link on the Broncos' offensive line right now. I still wouldn't be surprised if they use a third-round pick in order to go get a center in this coming draft. But if not, Kyle Fuller is going to push Lloyd for that starting center job.
Well, that was kind of the position, right, on that offensive line, was if you can figure out that center position, you could feel really good about this line going into the season next year.
Yeah, it's really true. And now center, probably between center and guard, the easiest position to get in the draft. And in fact, you should be able to get a third-round starter for the center position. But the downside is with that position is they're the brains of the offensive line. So typically, you need someone who's really smart. Lloyd Cushenberry, to his credit, is very smart, does get the mental side of the game, but you've risked that with a rookie of having a rookie come in on a shorter off season and being able to pick all of that up, especially with Sean Payton's offense.
Zach Stevens joining us. Well, we're officially in April now, Zach, and that means draft month for the Broncos. We've gone through a lot of the free agency stuff, and I would say the Broncos were extremely active when it came to filling holes through free agency. How do you think they're approaching this draft? Are they still, I mean, again, I know Sean Payton saying the wide receivers that we've been talking about are not up for grabs, but are the Broncos going to try to get really crafty here and gain more draft picks, or do you see them kind of saying, you know what, we're pretty set, we'll just take our picks where they are and see if we can discover some diamonds in the rough?
Yeah, George Payton loves draft picks, and he wants to have as many as possible. That's why these past 2 years, Brady, have probably really killed him inside, only having a couple of picks last year, only 5 picks this year. I still believe that the Broncos, if the right deal comes around, will absolutely trade Cortland Sutton and or Jerry Jeudy. It's just how much are they going to be willing to bend once the draft comes around. There is no reason for them to accept a deal that they don't love right now. Now, Thursday night, the draft comes around, April 27th, and a team offers them a high second-round pick for Jerry Jeudy. Will they bend then? That's more when I see something happening is closer to the draft. And if you can get a first-round pick for Jerry Jeudy, that would be very hard for them to pass up, just because Sean Payton came out and very strongly said that he does not want to trade those receivers. What else is he going to say, Brady? So I do think that the Broncos aren't just going to give one of these guys away. But if the right offer comes, yeah, I think they're going to explore that, because not only have these guys' names been thrown out in trade talks, but the Broncos have been active in potentially landing a receiver in free agency. They talked to Adam Thielen. They talked to Alan Lazard. So they weren't going to bring one of those guys in and keep Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. They were going to bring one of those guys in if they were able to trade one of those guys before they signed with other teams.
Well, and again, with these receivers, Zach, the more we look at this and then bringing in Callaway, and then we'll see how KJ Hamler does, it just doesn't seem like there's room for all of them at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right. And Callaway, I'm happy you brought him up, because he is another sneaky signing. The Broncos had so many big splashes in free agency that the ones that weren't big time did go under the radar. But I'm happy you brought him up, because just a couple of years ago, with Sean Payton as the head coach in New Orleans, Callaway was the number one receiver on that team. He had 700 yards, was the leading receiver for the Saints. Obviously disappointing to only have 700 yards as your top receiver, but what he can be, he can absolutely be the Broncos' number three receiver. He brings something a little different than what the rest of the Broncos' receiver room brings. And so if you move on from Cortland Sutton, You have Tim Patrick as your two, Jerry Jeudy as your one, and you feel really good about Callaway as your third receiver. And then if you're able to get something from KJ Hamler, what a cherry on top as your fourth receiver, kind of an explosive guy. But that's another signing that points to, okay, this room just might have too much going on for them to keep all these guys.
Yeah, and especially, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, as we've gone over these conversations with what this offense might ultimately look like, I am really curious to see if and when one of those guys moves on. But the guy that's in the interview room now who's talking a lot, you quoted him a few times on your Twitter account, is Tim Patrick. And I think that's the one guy, for me at least, I'm looking forward to seeing how he fits in with Sean Payton's offense going forward, because he is kind of that guy that will do the dirty work. But last time we saw him when he was healthy, I mean, he shocked us all. Very durable, great hands. I mean, he could potentially still be a big-time receiver for Denver.
Right now, Brady, from what we've seen from Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick when healthy over these past couple of years since Courtland got injured in his comeback, Tim Patrick is a better deep threat than Courtland Sutton. Tim Patrick is better at 50-50 balls. Tim Patrick has the best, most reliable hands on the team. You could easily make an argument that he, right now, is your number one receiver. He's your best receiver. Now, Jerry Jeudy's potential is through the roof. I think projecting for this season, I would say Jerry Jeudy's your one. Even with Courtland Sutton on the roster, Tim Patrick could very well be your two. And before Tim got hurt last year, the Broncos coaching staff, I know it was last year's staff, loved Tim. A lot of people in the building thought he was their number one receiver heading into last year. He obviously gets hurt. That hurt the offense a lot. Russell Wilson, the way he interacted with Tim Patrick was different in more of a special way than I saw him interacting with Courtland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. Courtland's still here, and I know that this new coaching staff thinks highly of Tim Patrick, and Sean Payton's a guy who, it doesn't matter where you're drafted, if you're good, he's going to play you. So that could benefit Tim Patrick more than anyone else this year, because Sean Payton doesn't care that Courtland was a second-round pick, that Jerry was a first-round pick. If Tim Patrick's the best receiver, he's going to use him the most.
What's the kind of injury status on some of those guys, Zach? A guy like Tim Patrick, Javonte Williams, we've been talking about him. I know the Broncos brass, they're pretty optimistic about both of those guys, but where do we sit today?
Yeah, all over the board with some of those guys. Tim Patrick, he's been cleared to do everything. He admitted in a podcast last week that he's still just a little hesitant with his knee, but the good thing is it's April right now. Broncos still have 3 months until they hit the field for training camp, so I expect him to be pretty darn ready to go by the time the season starts. Maybe training camp's just a little bit slow for him, but what you do have to remember, typically it takes a full year of playing until you fully feel comfortable. So he said he's going to wear a brace, so I expect him to be ready to go this year, but I don't expect him to be 100% Tim Patrick this year. Javonte Williams, on the other hand, Brady, the Broncos have been optimistic when they've been speaking publicly about him, from what I've heard, and I would not be as optimistic about him. I would be shocked if he starts this season. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he just doesn't play this season at all.
Wow.
One of the worst things to do for an injury like this is to come back early. He didn't just tear his ACL, he tore his LCL and his PLC as well. It was a brutal knee injury. I would expect if he does come back, it's going to be right in October, but I'm certainly just personally not counting on him to be ready to go week one, and that's why I think the Broncos have to do something else at running back, whether it's bringing in another free agent, whether it's using a third or fourth round pick on a running back. Samaje Perine is a really, really good number two running back. He's never been a number one running back in the NFL. It doesn't mean he can't be a number one running back, but Brady, in the past 3 years, Samaje has only played over 50% of the offensive snaps in 4 games. So you'd really be rolling the dice with him going into your season as your workhorse if Javonte's not ready to go.
And that's pretty scary, too. Again, going back to what we think Sean Payton's offense is really going to look like, you know, toughen up that offensive line, get receivers that are not afraid to get in the mix and block, hopefully a tight end or two that can make some plays also block. But it all kind of, I know we want to, you know, it centers around Russell Wilson. I get that. But it also somewhat centers around the running game. And that is a scary prospect if Javonte can't go even into October or the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And you hit it spot on. I mean, this is going to be The Broncos are going to go as far as Russell Wilson can take them and as far as Sean Payton can fix Russell Wilson in terms of, you know, if they're able to win double-digit games. Russ can't be bad, and they still win double-digit games. Russ has to be good. But one of the things that Sean Payton's going to do is not put everything on Russell Wilson. He's talked about taking him off the high dive. He said he had too much on his plate last year, and what this means is they are going to run the ball. You look at the Broncos' offensive line. You look at the guys they signed. Ben Powers, a great run blocker. Mike McGlinchey, a fine pass protector, but a really good run blocker. The tight end they signed, Chris Manhertz, he's caught just a couple of passes in these past couple of years, but he's a really good run blocker. They signed a fullback. They got a running back. They are going to run the heck out of the ball. When you think of Sean Payton's offense, you think of Drew Brees. You think of high-flying offense. That's not what this is going to be, at least at the start of this year, unless Russell Wilson absolutely proves that he can that he's the guy that he was for the first 10 years of his career right away.
Zach Stevens joining us, DNVR Broncos. Russell Wilson, I mean, I haven't been scrolling his Twitter feed a lot, Zach, but we're not hearing that much from him, it seems like. We're not getting the weird, maybe you shouldn't do that stuff. Is that just because of the time of the season we're in, or does Sean Payton and Russell Wilson have some kind of an understanding now?
You know, I don't know if it was actually Sean Payton, but I do know that behind the scenes, Russ decided to take a very different approach this year. And it doesn't mean that he's completely off social media. He posts a lot of things on his Instagram, but it's very different than what it was last year. Last year, it was all about, this is how hard I'm working. The grind never stops. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Yet you're not really seeing those anymore on Twitter or Instagram or social media. He's really taken a step back. And honestly, that's what he needed to do, not just for a public perception, but his teammates. He needs to be one of the guys now. He was not a superstar quarterback last year. And when you're not, you probably shouldn't act like it. Just take a step back. He was way too much in the limelight last year for them not playing well. You can only do that if you're going to go out and be elite, play well. Tom Brady was all over social media these past couple of years. Well, he played really well, so no one had an issue with it. If he was playing poorly, a bottom five quarterback like Russ, he would have got a lot of heat for that as well. So I think it's really smart, and I know there was a conscious decision made right after the season, so really before Sean Payton got there, to take a step back this year.
Well, it's slowed down a little bit, and that's probably a good thing, so we'll see. I'll just be really curious if they win their first game, if we get a let's ride kind of deal. Broncos country, let's ride. I really want to see if that comes. I know it's dumb, but I just want to see if that comes out again.
It's gonna be a storyline, that's for sure, because it took him so long last year to dump it, and then it completely went away. Is that something that he's just too afraid to bring back? My guess, Brady, is it might be over, and I think Sean Payton wants it to be over.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Zach, my man, what are you working on? We can check out later on through your programming going on with all things DNVR Broncos.
Man, I mean, Brady, you kind of mentioned it early on in our conversation. It feels like the offseason is just beginning for the Broncos. Last week was kind of the last wrap-up of everything, and it feels like now is the true start of the offseason, and yet we have the draft in 3 weeks. So it's kind of starting to transition to the draft. Although the Broncos don't have a lot of picks, it's going to be following the rumors and seeing if the Broncos are going to trade anyone to get additional picks. And then also just diving into the draft, seeing who's there in the third round. Can the Broncos get a starting center? Can they get another running back? Will they focus on what positions will they focus on the defensive side? So now we kind of get to look at the roster construction part of this team.
Yeah, I love it, man. Zach, appreciate you as always. And we're building up to the draft. Maybe we can start poking around what potentially will be out there for the Broncos in the next couple of weeks. Appreciate you, my friend.
I love it, Brady. Thanks.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Our game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquors from Avery Brewing. It's a White Rascal, a Belgian White there. Avery Brewing, White Rascal, Belgian White. This Friday, they got the wine tasting going on from Pacific Sound. It's a Pinot Noir. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. Noir. Pinot. Is that it? Is it Pinot? No.
Pinot Noir.
There it is. So you got to try that out, and you got to be fancy and sophisticated. Are you sophisticated when you drink wine, Angel? Do you feel sophisticated?
I don't drink a lot of wine.
But when you do you feel classy?
Sometimes.
The opposite of
Angel
Reese?
Well, if it's a red wine, you feel a certain way. If it's white wine, you feel a certain way.
It's true. I'm more of a red wine kind of guy, I think.
Depends on what, if I'm eating something.
Pair it up.
With a pear?
No, you pair. You the wine dinner pairing.
Yes.
You got that all figured out. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They're located half a mile south of Highway 34, 47th Avenue, very close to Buffalo Wild Wings. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're going to wrap up this hour when we come back. The Biden administration or Jill Biden, did they walk back their invite for Iowa? You can't re-invite them or uninvite them, can you? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The Avalanche, the Nuggets, the playoffs. Follow the action with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The White House, they're kind of walking back the invite for Iowa to come join them, to join LSU. As of course we know, LSU won the women's championship. Jill Biden said, you know, just want them both to come play. I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So we hope LSU will come. But, you know, I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too because they played such a good game. Listen, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not. It's just funny because there's an ESPN story like this long clarifying. Because Angel Reese tweeted out, joke, rolling on the floor laughing, basically making fun of the notion that you would invite the loser. The First Lady's press secretary had to come out and address those. She took to Twitter on Tuesday to clarify, saying Jill Biden admires how far women have advanced in sports since the passing of Title IX. And that her comments in Colorado were intended to applaud the historic game and all women athletes. She looks forward to celebrating the LSU Tigers on their championship win at the White House. But she said it. She said she wanted him to come. She was going to tell Joe that. All right. The ratings for that game were off the chain. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, the Lunch Rush coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.